Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning, everybody out there in Atlanta Legal Expert land. I'm glad you're tuning in today. I am back. This is Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices. And this is another awesome episode of Atlanta Legal Experts. And my co-host slash, well, producer today is Rich Casanova. I'm used to Ryan being here.
I know Ryan who's been here. Yeah. Ryan's in Vegas, by the way. Yeah. For all the nice Ryan fans, Red Hawk fans out there, if he's tuning in, yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And he promised he's going to either win money, or if he wins the lottery, we may not see him next week. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll miss him. Yeah, we'll miss him. Sure. Yeah.
So today you do have a great show this morning. Yeah. And so, but you were on vacation. You went down to the Sunshine State?
Yes, I did. It was very hot.
Oh, yeah? You get a tan, or the kids have fun, and you went to the big Disneyland?
Yeah, Disney World. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yes, all that right, was a lot of fun.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you. Okay, so today we have some early risers this morning. We have Lisa Decker here with Divorcetown USA. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Emily.
Absolutely. We're so glad to have you here. If you could just share with me a little bit quickly about what you might be talking about today. Well, it's kind of obvious. It's in the title of your
Well, I am going to be talking about divorce and the legal and financial aspects. And so we've got some great guests lined up that are going to talk with us about all the legal things you need to know if you're going through divorce, before, during, and after.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Steve Worrell with the Manili Firm. Good morning.
Good morning, Emily. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. And you and Michael Manili are here today. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
And tell us a little bit about what you'll be discussing, the legal side.
I'm going to be focusing on the estate planning side of and where it intersects with divorce. And then I think Michael is going to be covering
divorce.
We're going to have all aspects of the
Before and after.
That's right.
And then we have, last but not least, Sue Hong with Blevins and Hong PC. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're so glad to have you here. And just tell me a little bit about what you'll be talking about today.
I'll be discussing bankruptcy law as related to the divorce.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So all you listeners out there, stay tuned. And I want to let you know that this show has been brought to you in part by Peachtree Offices, where you can work virtually anywhere. 3A Law Practice Management. They help lawyers start and grow their practice. And Atlanta's own John Marshall Law School. If you go to AtlantaLegalExperts.com, you can find their links and their logos on there. And then you can find out more about the sponsors here for this show. And we also, first I'll start off with Lisa Decker. She's going to do a little co-host. She brought the guests with her today, so she's going to be co-hosting as well. And you have something going on soon. Actually, we have something going on
soon. We do. We have something really fun and exciting. We're going to be co-hosting our first mixer event together, the Divorcetown Mixer. And so I'm really excited that we'll be doing that opportunity together coming up May 6th. Not too far away.
Yes. And it's so great because May 6th is actually the anniversary date of Atlanta Legal Experts' first show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you didn't even know that.
I didn't know that. So lots of reasons to celebrate.
Absolutely. Yay. Yeah. So we'll be doing some giveaways and some fun stuff. So tell us a little bit more about the event.
Well, the Divorcetown Mixers are an opportunity for those folks who are in the divorce arena to come together and network. We like to call it, not your average networking, no shot in the dark going on here. Right. Everyone who attends the event has a common thread, runs through the room of serving people in divorce. So we bring together attorneys, mediators, therapists, real estate, mortgage, insurance, moving companies, you name it, those folks who help people get through and before, during, and after the divorce.
Wonderful. And
that's for the professionals only.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Where okay. Oh, you want me to announce the address? Oh, is it 1455 Lincoln Parkway?
Yes,
did
it
I
is.
Get that right? Fourth floor.
Fourth floor. Fourth floor.
6 to 9 p.m. on May 6th.
Yes. And you can actually go to AtlantaLegalExperts.com to purchase your ticket and see more information on sponsors as well. Yep. And where else can we go to get some tickets?
At DivorcetownUSA.com and DivorceMoneyMatters.com. So there's the links will be all over the place.
Awesome. Yeah, so get your ticket. Hurry, because they're running out. So great to have you today, Lisa.
Thank you.
And you are a CDFA. Tell me what that is.
That stands for Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. Lots of words for divorce financial planning.
Wonderful. So that's kind of what you focus on in helping people, but you are a financial planner.
I am a divorce financial planner. I used to do investment advising, but right now I'm primarily just focused on helping people with divorce financial planning, which is tremendously different than traditional financial planning. And I'm also a real estate collaboration specialist in divorce through a program called Divorce This House in Vanderbilt University.
Wonderful. And she is actually a nationally recognized expert in the financial matters of divorce and author of the new book, How to Divorce Your Spouse, Not Your Money, available on Amazon Kindle. Mrs. Decker is also the CEO and innovative mastermind behind several helpful divorce-related sites, including DivorceTownUSA.com and DivorceMoneyMatters.com. She is a sought-out national speaker, frequent radio show guest, and featured expert on ABC, NBC, and Fox affiliates nationally, along with Oprah Magazine, The New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and Atlanta Legal Experts Radio, speaking on topics that help people to be smart from the start and have a saner, savvier money-saving divorces. So it just sounds like you really found your niche.
Yep, and I enjoy helping people at a difficult time in their lives.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you're here with us. And tell me a little bit more, how more do you help them going through a divorce?
Well, you know, what I see is that commonly people make the same mistakes over and over again, and many of them are preventable. So we want to help people avoid common, costly, permanent mistakes. And that's why I brought together these good folks, because they're going to help the listeners to understand that there are many things that can be done on the front end to prevent the problems that we see on the back end.
So what's the first thing you tell somebody when you first meet them, that when they come to your office?
Well, it's about being smart from the start. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I have a little acronym for that. The S is for start early. The M is for manage your emotions. The A is for assessing your options. There are different ways to get through divorce. The R is for reaching out for help. It takes a team. And that's why we brought a team of experts here. And that's what the T is for. It takes a team. You gotta have the right folks helping you get through this process. It's not a time to do it alone or be alone.
So tell me, what's a good day in Lisa Decker's planner?
Wow. One with nothing on it.
Yeah, really.
There's not many quiet moments. So
I know that.
Right?
It's hard to reach you.
So, yeah.
Okay. That's what I would say, too. One waiting in line for Disney World. That's a good day. So great. Well, we're so glad to have you. And of course, we're going to hear from you much more throughout the show. If you'll just let everybody know how they can reach you.
I can be found at DivorceMoneyMatters.com or DivorceTownUSA.com.
Great. And it's not that hard to reach her. I was just kidding. So wonderful. And just a reminder to everybody that this show has been brought to you by Peachtree Offices, where you can work virtually anywhere, and 3A Law Practice Management, helping attorneys build and start and build their practice. And now we have Steve Worrell from the Manili firm, PC. Steve is an experienced wills, trusts, and estate planning, probate, and adoption attorney in Marietta, Georgia. He concentrates his practice in all areas of estate planning, including wills, trusts, probate, special needs planning, and guardianship, as well as many areas of family law, including adoption and prenuptial agreements and collaborative divorce. He is an Atlanta native and has lived in Cobb County all of his life. I was raised there as well. He graduated with honors from the University of Georgia School of Law in 1983 and practiced in the Buckhead area of Atlanta from 83 until 95, when he opened his own practice, Georgia Family Law, Worrell Law LLC, in his hometown suburb in Marietta. In 2015, he joined the Manili firm, PC, as its senior estate planning, probate, and adoption lawyer. He is married and is a dad to 3 children. He is involved in his community and local business groups and local theater and arts organizations. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
We love to hear from you. So tell me, what are some common mistakes, other than what Lisa was talking about, that you see people make post-divorce in relation to estate planning?
One of the biggest mistakes is not changing beneficiaries. Estate planning covers a broad range of topics, not just wills and trusts and other documents that you sign in that context. It also includes things like your life insurance policies, your retirement designations. And there have been a number of cases that have come out recently that basically say that those beneficiary designations trump any estate planning that you've done or any laws reflecting estate planning, such as the divorce. In a divorced situation, typically, the will, if you created a will before the divorce and you don't change it and you die after the divorce, your spouse is treated as if he or she died before you. That's not the case with beneficiary designations. So if you don't change your life insurance policy, I give you an example. A fellow named David Egelhoff was killed in a car accident. He didn't have a will. He had $46,000 life insurance proceeds paid to his ex-wife instead of his children because he didn't get around to changing that beneficiary designation after the divorce.
Wow, that sounds like, I mean, you need to do that probably as often as at least a year, I would say, every year.
I recommend updating your estate planning documents no less than every 3 years, but an annual review is certainly a good idea as well.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. Because you don't realize what you have in there until you, go look them over. So, obviously, you named the consequences. They went to his ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Are there any other consequences for those mistakes?
There's also a celebrity story that comes to mind. Gary Coleman famously divorced his wife publicly on a TV show, secretly divorced her in real life. And then when he was injured and in bad way in the hospital, she's the one that pulled the plug, even though he had specifically created a healthcare directive that says, I want all measures used to prolong my life as long as possible. And she explained, well, she just felt like she was forced to pull the plug. Never did explain why that was, and probably it could have had something to do with the fact that she engaged in a lengthy court battle over his estate following that, which she fortunately lost.
Wow. Well, so even living wills and all that is so important to update, but to have.
Definitely.
And then tell me, what effects can these consequences have on the children?
The biggest thing that can affect the children is your choice of guardians. When someone passes away and they have a spouse or parent of their other children, the other parent of their children, that other parent is automatically the guardian under law in Georgia.
Okay.
But and that's one of the biggest questions I have at some of my seminars. How can I make sure that my former spouse is not get the children after I die? I have to explain to them that I can't stop that unless there is some reason under the law that he or she is not eligible for custody based on fitness.
Sure.
And so the best thing that you can do there is to go ahead and make your choices of guardian nomination and make sure that your choices have the evidence that they need to fight that custody battle later on if that's the case.
Gotcha. And so you actually have been working with Lisa, I'm sure. And tell me how you guys kind of work together.
Well, we've worked collaboratively in a lot of cases where my clients get the financial side of the picture from Lisa. Mm-hmm. She's much more qualified to do so than I am. I know enough to be dangerous. So that's
same thing with me with the law.
So that's why I rely on experts like Lisa to guide them through the financial maze.
Wonderful. It sounds like you provide the whole spectrum for them. Steve, tell me, how did you get into where you are today?
Well, I started practicing law in 1983 in Buckhead, doing a variety of things. My path led me to exclusively handling divorces for a number of years. After a while of doing that, though, I got to the point where I wanted to look for some other area of practice to try to focus my efforts in.
Sure.
Started focusing on collaborative divorce to try to minimize the effects of divorce on children. And also, it came aware to me that children, guardianship issues especially, are important, not only for the long term, but the short term. We have a unique product in our firm that we protect our family's children not only for the long term, naming guardians to raise them to adulthood, but also from the time that the parents are killed immediately up to the point of where the time the court will enter the guardianship order. We call these first responders to make sure that they're protected adequately for that entire period of time and not going into police care or defects custody.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So I'm so glad to have you here. If you'll let our listeners know how they can reach you, and of course we'll hear more from you in just a little bit.
Well, our firm's telephone number is 770-421-0808. Our firm's website is allfamilylaw.com, and I'm still maintaining my prior family law website of georgiafamilylaw.com with a lot of estate planning information there. I also have a guide available on my website. If you go to GeorgiaEstatePlan.com, you can download a document called Stay in Control During and After Your Divorce, 6 Legal Documents to Update.
I'm sure that's so helpful. Thank you so much. And wanted to go ahead and welcome Michael Manili.
Good morning.
Today, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Yourself?
Good, good. So you all work together. This is wonderful. And you have been a family law attorney for about 25 years?
A little over 25 years.
Wow. And the only family law attorney in the United States to have argued before the U.S. Supreme Court. And you received an unanimous...
A 9-0 decision,
9-0
yes.
decision.
Yes.
That's awesome. And one of a handful of attorneys in the U.S. who regularly handles Hague, is that how I pronounce
mm-hmm.
it?
Hague
Child
custody.
Abduction. Mm-hmm. Matters. I looked that up.
Okay. All right.
Make sure I knew. Still didn't know the pronunciation, but so tell us a little bit about your background.
Let's see. Like Steve, grew up in Cobb County, attended Cobb County High Schools, went to Georgia State, graduated there in 1989 with a law degree, and after a big firm life, opened my own practice. Moved it to Marietta when I realized it was important to be close to home. We now have 6 offices around, excuse me, 5, about to be 6. Around Georgia. We have our main office in Marietta. We have offices right next to the courthouse also in Atlanta, Canton. I'm looking over at Steve to help me remember. Lawrenceville and Savannah. And then we'll have a 6th office opening before too awfully long.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So how did you get into the family law side of law?
Family law done properly, I think, is a calling. Not unlike Steve also, practiced a number of different things for a while. And You try to find your bliss, in a sense. It's a weird word in family law, isn't it, in divorce. Try to find where you are best suited to practice, what is the most meaningful for you. And considering the different avenues of practice, criminal law, commercial litigation, there are people that are called to those things. I was not one of them. But family law definitely was the one that spoke to me, the one that has the most meaning for me, the one that gives me the most drive to get up in the morning and go to work.
Awesome. Awesome. So tell us a little bit more, if you can, about the case that you argued before the Supreme Court.
As you were saying, there are just a handful of folks that do, whose personal practice is almost 100% international family law. And this was one of those cases, a Hague case, had to do with a couple that lived in Alabama, and the mother was Scottish, and she wanted to return home to Scotland. Long story short, she, after the trial, was able to return to Scotland with her child. And in the 11th Circuit, our nation's divided up into not just districts and states, but also circuits from a court sense. The 11th Circuit comprises Georgia and Alabama, particularly in this particular case, a couple of other states. In the 11th Circuit, we had a rule called the Bakir Rule, and it said that any time a child is removed from our borders of the United States, our courts lose jurisdiction over that child. Courts can't do anything about it. And we thought that was a very bad idea. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, some other circuits in the nation had differing opinions on that and thought that the United States courts ought to retain jurisdiction over children if they are removed from our borders. And so we asked the Supreme Court to take a look at it. It was a very timely issue. The Supreme Court invited us up. We had the argument in December 2013. And we thought at the beginning that it was a possible kumbaya moment for the Supreme Court because it only stood to reason to us, obviously not the 11th Circuit, that it was nonsensical to say if a parent should run off and manage to get beyond our borders, let's say they just step across that border there in Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. And they can sort of wag their nose and taunt the American parent and say, sorry, my child's now in Mexico, can't touch us. The Supreme Court, they were great folks to have this argument before. They cared deeply. All 9 of them did. And the kumbaya moment that we expected was borne out by a concurring opinion penned by Justice Ginsburg and joined by Justice Scalia.
Wow.
So the court really came together on that and said, sure enough, we don't lose jurisdiction over our children just because they're taken from our borders.
That's amazing. Wow, that's history.
It was history, yes.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So tell me a little bit more about how you work, if you worked with Lisa, and how you guys kind of work together.
Lisa is amazing. Lisa's on the forefront of changing the way family law is done, which is much more sensible, much more logical. The emotions are a core part of divorce. They always will be. But they are an impediment to being able to be efficient and actually move on within what is lawful and financial in a divorce. And Lisa is part of the cutting edge of that. in helping people crystallize their goals and not blow their money, you know, their hard-earned money, what limited access they have through going through a divorce. Because it's very easy to miss the forest for the trees, spend a fortune on a divorce when it doesn't serve the family at all. And Lisa's one of the first voices in Atlanta to really, really bring that point home.
And would you say that that's the common mistake, is spending too much money on a divorce?
Yes. One of the common mistakes? Well, it's a symptom. The common mistake is getting allowing your emotions to dictate what happens. And so the net effect of that is spending too much money on the divorce. It's like you really want to be on top of that checkbook, or I guess the debit card these days, very aware of where your money is going. And you know, the divorce should not cost a fortune. It just should not cost a fortune. And I think one of our attorneys in the firm wrote recently about how you're going to remain family afterward. And as much as you might not like the idea of sharing your child with that parent, you have up until now. And sort of an acceptance of reality. Odds are you will afterward, and find some way of finding peace with that so that you can focus on the issues that are involved in divorce and be able to move on.
That's wonderful. And you're talking about saving money and not spending a fortune. I saw on your website something about the Justice Cafe. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
The Justice Cafe is a division of the Manili firm. It is a brand new, we're actually reinventing the wheel there. You're not supposed to reinvent the wheel, but we are in the Justice Cafe. Much of what attorneys do, not just in family law, but in all different practice areas, is rote. There's certainly an art to the practice of law. There's a high creative side, but that high creative side is probably called upon, you know, less than 10% of the time. But much of what we do is rote, filling out a particular form. And they're complex forms, but they are very straightforward things to do. In those circumstances, it is entirely possible to have a different economic model for delivery of legal services. The Justice Cafe seeks to do those rote routine practices. It's called unbundled in legal parlance. And because it is not soup to nuts, it is unbundled. We can retool how the attorney gets paid. And it winds up being $75 an hour for a licensed practicing attorney to be able to perform the rote services, that individual services that clients need.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. So that helps with people that are needing help but may not can afford an attorney.
It actually, yes, it is not means tested, though. We certainly created it thinking about the working man and woman. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite stories out of the Justice Cafe was a patent attorney. And she earned well better than $300,000 a year. And her husband was another high-end attorney, made an awful lot of money. And they knew what they knew in their practice areas, and they knew they didn't know divorce. So she hired us to help them through their uncontested divorce. So it is not means-tested.
Gotcha. Wonderful. Well, thank you for being on today. And if you'll let our listeners know how they can reach you, and we'll hear more from you in just a moment.
Okay. Our telephone number is 770-421-0808. And our website is www.allfamilylaw.com. And the way you reach our attorneys is our first name, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, at allfamilylaw.com.
Great. Thank you so much for being here. And just a quick reminder again to our listeners, you are listening to Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. We have Lisa Decker here with Divorcetown USA. We'll be shortly discussing the topic of divorce from all aspects in our open roundtable discussion. And this show has been brought to you in part by Peachtree Offices, work virtually anywhere, 3A Law Practice Management, who help lawyers start and grow their practice, and Atlanta's own John Marshall Law School. Again, you can go to atlantalegalexperts.com, and you can see all of our guests on the website and all of their full-length bios. Right now, we're just giving you a little summary. Thank you so much, and we are going to Sue Hong this morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And she has helped hundreds of clients with their financial hardship by zealously, I said that wrong, representing them and advising them with the best options to build their credit. She has represented clients from simple Chapter 7 cases to complex business Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 cases. Sue has helped many small business clients save their businesses while getting rid of their debt and rebuilding their credit. She has also aggressively and successfully represented many clients in adversary proceeding cases. She was born in Seoul. I said it right.
Yes.
South Korea, and has immigrated to the United States at the age of 10. She is fluent in Korean and is grateful that she's also able to help the Korean community in Georgia. So tell me a little more about your practice.
My practice is in Marietta, Georgia. I'm a partner at Blevins & Hong. Bankruptcy is one of the three practices that we do at my firm. And as far as bankruptcy goes, I've been practicing for a little over 6 years. I started practicing bankruptcy law right out of law school.
Okay. So that was, you found your niche right away.
Definitely. I didn't really think about going into bankruptcy law when I graduated law school, but I landed a job at a big firm that did only bankruptcy work. And I found that it was very, I found that it was very helpful to a lot of people. And I saw how much that I was, how much I was helping other people. And that really brought me to realize that I'm really good at this type of law and sure. that I really enjoy it.
That's wonderful. Did you ever dabble, just curious, in any other areas?
I actually do criminal defense and personal okay. injury because that's the other two practices that we have at our firm as well.
Yes, and I see that you also are certified in DUI detection. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Correct. So part of our practice, we do criminal defense, and part of that is DUI defense. So I sure. went through all the classes for what you would go through if you were pulled over for a DUI. So sure. going through.
So you're an expert now.
Correct. Correct.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So tell me a little bit about the misconceptions about debt as related to a divorce settlement and bankruptcy.
I think the main misconception that people have is that creditors care about what a settlement agreement says in a divorce. And that is completely untrue. For example, if your ex-spouse ends up with all your joint debt and a settlement order says that your ex-spouse has to pay all of your marital joint debt and he fails to pay, the creditor will still come after you and your ex-spouse because you are also still a co-debtor on that debt. And I often have a lot of clients that come to me and say, I'm not responsible for this anymore because my divorce lawyer told me this, and here's an order that says my ex-spouse is responsible for it. But at the end of the day, a debt is a debt, and you are still a co-debtor on it. Gotcha. So I do work with a lot of family lawyers that that will refer me clients that are considering divorce with a lot of joint debt to okay. see whether a bankruptcy will work to either before or after the divorce to get rid of the joint debts that they have so that it won't be an issue later on.
It's just another part, I would think, to setting them free from all the troubles and everything. I mean, I couldn't imagine a spouse running up a debt, you know, and then having to go through the divorce, which is even more expensive. So tell me how you've helped some clients in that way.
Correct. And it, you know, when one, in any type of settlement agreement, if one spouse defaults on it, now they have to go through contempt actions, et cetera. And that is very costly. And so I've worked with a lot of couples that are considering divorce, and whether or not they have a good relationship at that time, just to sit both of them down to say, hey, this is good for both of you guys at the end of the day. Go through bankruptcy. Let's go ahead and get rid of all this debt. Then there's less to fight over. There's less to consider. There's less that you need to worry about even after the divorce.
Wow.
So I've helped a lot of couples that way, and kind of talking through that to them as to what would be the best for them at the end.
Wonderful. That sounds awesome. Tell me, what's one thing you wish people knew about divorce in your area of expertise?
Again, like I said, that a settlement order doesn't necessarily mean that that's, you know, that it goes as far as creditors go. And also as far as bankruptcy goes, bankruptcy court can interpret different languages in a settlement order, a divorce settlement order, than what a divorce judge may have interpreted as. For example, I have a lot of clients that come and file divorce or file bankruptcy because they get behind on their domestic support obligations. Mm-hmm. Some settlement orders are not very specific whether or not what one spouse owes another is actually a domestic support obligation, or whether it's a property settlement, or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Some settlement orders will specifically say this is not a domestic support obligation. However, when you file for bankruptcy, the bankruptcy court looks at the totality of the entire settlement order and sure. the circumstances of each party. So therefore, even if the judge has said it's not a domestic support obligation, if it seems like it was for support and maintenance of that one spouse, then the bankruptcy court will say then it was a domestic support obligation and not dischargeable under bankruptcy. So there are a lot of things that are that can be interpreted differently in divorce mm-hmm. court versus bankruptcy court.
Wow. Wow. Did you have any questions for her?
No, I was going to add that, you know, it's important, everything that you're saying here, to divorce your spouse and your joint debts, too. That's what I tell folks. So,
yes.
You know, it's not just a matter of severing the marital ties. You definitely need to sever all the financial ties as well. And so I wanted to ask Sue, I'm so sorry. Please tell me, is there a specific timing that you recommend, or is it different for the different clients that come to see you? Is it better to do the bankruptcy before they get divorced or after they get divorced, or does it depend on their circumstances?
It definitely depends on their circumstances, but I think for the most part, it's better to consider it before filing. Some bankruptcies can last a long time, and once a bankruptcy case is filed, all proceedings are stayed, meaning that they all have to stop, including a divorce. So it would be better to go ahead and file bankruptcy, get rid of all that you can, and then file for divorce and settle with each other whatever is left. Mm-hmm. And that usually is the case.
And I've seen cases, and tell me if I'm sure you have as well, where someone has gotten divorced and then filed for bankruptcy afterwards as an individual and left their spouse, their ex-spouse, holding the bag. So that's another danger to doing it afterwards. Would you say that as well?
Exactly. I see that all the time. And again, a settlement agreement might have said that one spouse that filed bankruptcy and wiped everything off was actually responsible for all of that debt. And because that spouse filed bankruptcy, now creditors are coming after the other spouse. Mm-hmm. And the other spouse comes to me and says, wait a minute, I'm not responsible for this. He is. Why are they suing me for this debt? And so it's either now you have to, again, consider and take care of that debt that you thought you weren't responsible for anymore after the divorce, or having to go back to the divorce court and go through the contempt actions, etc. Mm. So it does become difficult when you don't think about those things before filing.
Yeah. And that's why I say to folks, you know, divorce is like an onion. You have to keep peeling back the layers to see what are the complexities. There's really... every situation is different, and you've got to consult with the experts before you make the moves that can land you into more trouble and more money costs.
Well, thank you so much for being here. If you will let our listeners know how they can reach you, please.
Sure. My office number is 678-354-2290, or they can visit my website at www.cobbcountylaw.com.
Great. I didn't realize that she was from Cobb County as well. We're all Cobb Countyers.
In fact, we're next door neighbors.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's too funny. So, okay, great. Let's go get with it. We're going to open
in Cobb County.
We're going to go ahead and open up the table for a roundtable discussion. And Lisa, I'm going to let you go ahead and start the first question, I guess.
Okay, so Well, you know, I just had a couple of things that I wanted to follow up on first. Steve, when it comes to the timing of the changing of the will, do you recommend that before, during, or after, or is that, again, an individual situation?
It is an individual situation. There are pros and cons at each of those levels. Definitely after. There's nothing stopping you there. What I'm referring to there is during the divorce, there's often a standing order that prevents the parties to the divorce from making substantial changes to their financial circumstances. It's questionable whether or not that applies to changing a will or not, but a lot of lawyers will advise against doing it during a divorce. Before the divorce, you can certainly do that, but if you die during the divorce proceedings and before the divorce is entered, that person is still your spouse, and they could elect a marital share against your estate instead of what you've taken away from them by taking them out of the will. So after is clearly there's no restrictions there. You can as I said before, the spouse is treated as if they've died before you if you haven't changed your will, but it's certainly a good idea to change your will right after a divorce. That's one of those key life moments that you do need to really think about doing that.
And one of the common, costly, and permanent mistakes that we talk about.
Definitely.
So very important to see a estate planning attorney before and after, again, consultation. Michael, what are some of the common mistakes that you see people make when they're going through a divorce or before they even prepare for a divorce? What would you say, mistakes that you wish, top three things you wish people knew when they were going through divorce?
Probably first and foremost, that it's going to be all right. There's a sense sometimes that folks have, and I guess it depends upon whether you're the person leading the charge or responding to the charge, that this is a black cloud that will never pass. But life goes on, and as soon as you start the process, as soon as you start the dialogue, even if it's in your own head, the light appears at the end of the tunnel. You can focus on that light and run toward that light. So first of all, to know that this too shall pass. Secondly, probably, to know that there are many different ways of approaching a divorce. And probably counterintuitively, the best path is actually the path of least resistance and the path of most peace. I say counterintuitively because there's a great field of divorce practice called collaborative practice, and it's sort of the utopia. The idea there is that everybody gets along so well they agree not to litigate. That requires an awful lot of good faith. But you can come awfully close toward approaching collaborative practice without all of the formal documents of a collaborative divorce. And that is taking a lot of the steam out of it, a lot of the emotion out of it, or at least compartmentalizing it to where that does the most good, which is probably in a therapist's office, not before a judge. So that would certainly be the second thing. And then the third thing is you don't necessarily have to establish a dialogue with the other side, but you can at least establish a dialogue in your head with the other side. If I were to have an open and objective and fair conversation with my husband, which of course if you were, maybe you weren't getting divorced in the first place, but a place in your head, how would that conversation go? You know, how would we see our way through this? And I think that is a practical approach, a mindful approach of helping take some of that steam out of it so that you are remaining focused on what are the objectives that you want to accomplish in the divorce. And by objectives, I mean, a divorce is very good about the business of dissolving a marriage. So what are those things that need to be accomplished? We're all talking about debt here. We're all talking about assets. Identifying those things first and foremost. The more that you can come into an attorney's office, not necessarily at the front end, but during the course of it, with your homework done, at least that's where you come in, so, so very helpful, to be able to say, here is a chart of my accounts, right? Then you really, attorneys can get expensive. You really help focus that attorney so that they aren't frittering away their time, and time is money, on identifying what has to be resolved financially within the divorce.
Great, great answers. Thank you. It is so important to help your attorney, to help your divorce financial planner by being organized and gathering the documents that you need and doing your financial planning up front helps the experts to do the job that they need to do best. So do you have any divorce disaster stories you want to share with us, Michael?
We had sometimes people get into paradigms of I'm going to get everything. I'm entitled to everything. Why? Because use the old class example, he was unfaithful. Therefore, I deserve the house, I deserve the children, I deserve all the assets. And in the 21st century, and this has been true for a while, more than just the 21st century, certainly in the Atlanta metropolitan area, we live in a very cosmopolitan area. And one of my favorite stories comes from a judge who was listening to a divorce case, and the wife's attorney was up cross-examining the husband and making a mess of it. And so he wasn't really getting anywhere, and the wife was getting increasingly frustrated, and she eventually stood up from counsel table because her attorney was up doing cross-examination. Nobody was there to kick her under the table and tell her to hush. And she said to the judge, "But judge, he committed adultery." And the judge said, "Well, I figured there was some reason why you were getting a divorce." So that's a part of letting the cause. We have 13 grounds for divorce in Georgia, and the 13th one is no fault. We call it irretrievably broken. Pretty much every single divorce is going to result in a divorce being granted on irretrievably broken. And like Steve says, certainly there are individual cases, and all these things need to be looked at individually. But by and large, the cause for divorce can become a very expensive distraction toward accomplishing the divorce. Mm-hmm. And there are great places to work through all the issues that come up with someone being unfaithful in a marriage. That's terrible. But the court of law is not the place to do that. You know, that's an expensive therapist.
Right, right. And you never know going into it also, you know, what your judge is going to, how they feel about that situation. You know, each judge has their own biases, if you will, and experiences, and, you know, bringing your case before a judge to decide those personal matters can be very costly. So,
judges have huge dockets. I have a good friend that says what a judge most wants to do is drink coffee back in her office. And everything that we do that can help a judge drink coffee back in her office, that's good for the judge. So they walk into court and they're looking at all these folks that need their time, and there are just too many people that need their time for the amount of time that they have allotted. So the more that you can cut to the chase and talk to the judge about what the judge needs to decide, the more likely you're going to get a favorable outcome because you focused on what the judge's needs are.
Very good. Okay, I think we've lost Emily for a moment, but I'll keep talking. Okay. So Sue, are there any divorce disaster stories that you can share with us? I think it helps people to hear the stories. We all share common threads that way.
Definitely. I get a lot of clients that, and I'll go with Michael in the sense that, you know, there are certain things that cannot be taken care of in a courtroom and in certain courtrooms. So for example, some people will file bankruptcy in order to avoid certain child support obligations or to buy more time in order to avoid child support obligations or alimony or whatever it may be. And then the ex-spouse will come into bankruptcy court and try to litigate that aspect of it in bankruptcy court. And sometimes bankruptcy court is just not the venue for it. Maybe divorce court is. Maybe divorce court is not the venue for it. There's just a lot of things that happen that clients want bankruptcy court to do to relieve them from certain obligations that are given to them under a divorce. And it just isn't going to happen. So I have a lot of clients that want to file bankruptcy and have certain expectations in order to relieve them from what their obligations are under a divorce. That just cannot happen. And they hear stories all the time. And I think that goes for any attorney. Clients always say, well, my neighbor did this and they were able to go ahead and wipe everything off. How come I can't? And it's just, there are certain obligations that people just need to be responsible for, and I do have a lot of bankruptcy clients that want certain things under bankruptcy law that is just not available for them. I do have good stories, though, as well, that I do meet a lot of couples that are going through a divorce, or I have couples that are under a bankruptcy case currently, paying on their debts together, that decide that they want to go ahead and get a divorce. And they come to me together and say, how is this going to affect our bankruptcy case? And I say, if you guys are okay with continuously paying on the debts together and staying in this bankruptcy case together and working together to do so, then you guys can go ahead and start a divorce process, but still take care of your obligations under the bankruptcy case. And surprisingly, a lot of couples will go ahead and stay together as far as that bankruptcy case goes and work together to finish their bankruptcy case. So there are some good cases, but there are bad cases where there are some good cases as well.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Because, you know, a lot of what we're talking about here, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, Michael, is that these situations, whether it's divorce or whether it's bankruptcy, it affects people for generations to come. Mm-hmm. People really don't think about that. They're in the motions of the here and now, but the decisions that they're making today will affect them, will affect their children for many years to come. I mean, I'm a product of a divorce two generations back that still affects the family today. So it's so important that people understand it's not just about them. You know, think about the choices that you're making. Will your children be able to have you sit in the same room when they get married, when they graduate,
right?
When they have grandchildren. And sometimes just hearing that brings some sense, some common sense to the process. So Steve, talking about kids and all, you know, I've worked with you. I've worked with Michael on cases, and I would love to work with you, Sue, when the need comes. I know how important the work is that you do on estate planning is for families as well. So can you tell us any of the disaster stories that you've seen and how people can avert those as well?
Well, I mentioned a couple before, but one other one's of a similar nature, and following up with Sue's talked about, is that the divorce decree may say one thing, but the outcome may be completely different. Another case that went up to the U.S. Supreme Court involved an ex-wife that collected $400,000 from her ex-husband's retirement plan because she was named as the beneficiary, even though she had waived all of her interest in that account in the divorce agreement. The Supreme Court said that the beneficiary designation under the federal law that governs retirement accounts trumps the state law in the order of the divorce court, and that she won the $400,000 instead of his new wife.
Mm. And wow. Sometimes we see wives that were supposed to get, mm-hmm. the ex-wives that were supposed to get, and the quadros were never filed. Mm-hmm. So
that's correct.
You know, that's another important point. So it's not just the before and the during, it's the after. You've got to cover all the bases on this, folks. Before, during, and after, all those pieces are important. You mentioned you had a kit of some kind. I didn't think about that earlier. Do you want to tell us what you've got
there
again? Sure.
It's a guide that I have called Stay in Control During and After Your Divorce, 6 Legal Documents to Update. You can find that on a website I have called GeorgiaEstatePlan.com. And just enter your information and we'll send it right out to you.
That's a great thing. And I also have a divorce financial fitness kit at divorcemoneymatters.com. Same thing, free download, and all the documents you need to gather and questions that you should be asking when you hire an attorney, and a Smart from the Start ebook at divorcemoneymatters.com.
I think that it's the biggest thing that I'm hearing today is the importance of having the experts do it. I mean, I've had several family law attorneys on, and they all have different aspects and all the different professionals that have to deal with a divorce, the complexities of divorce, the differences of each divorce case. It's just like, how do you know what to do, where to go? And these kits that you're talking about, the books that you've written, even the Justice Cafe, everything's kind of helping these people who just, they don't do it, obviously. They're not in the profession, so they don't know what to do. But one of my follow-up questions to that is, how do you know who to choose as an expert? Anybody? Anyone?
You need to interview a lot of different people if we're talking about hiring for a divorce attorney. Mm-hmm. And you need to go with the person who you think most gets what you're talking about. It is self-selecting that way. You know, we're very proactive at our firm. We're very, heavens, I'm trying to think, what is the word for that? We're trying to make peace with the other side. Certainly it's walks awfully carry a big stick. If they don't make peace with us, we know what to do in court. But a client will hear from us very positive, very encouraging, look forward to the future kind of a thing. Now, somebody that comes into our office that's fire and brimstone and they want their other their husband or wife to suffer won't hire us because we aren't going to make them happy. they'll find somebody that's fire and brimstone. God help the both of them. That's a different story.
And their wallets.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they want to, first of all, find somebody that they think gets them. And then you start applying the objective data, which is how long they've been practicing, you know, how successful do they appear to be, you know, are they meeting at a Waffle House? I'd be careful, it's how I actually started the practice. There are good people actually meet at a Waffle House, but it's hard to know that. So you start looking at the objective data, but the first litmus test is, do they seem to get where you're coming from, and can they deliver on what they're promising?
I like that.
Yeah, that the kit that I have has a list of questions, and it's, I tell folks, it's not about interrogating an attorney because there's 50 must-ask questions. It's really about knowing the questions to ask. You know, how do you communicate? Do you prefer, does your attorney prefer to communicate by email, by phone, by text? You know, who will be working on the case? Will it be the attorney or assistant attorney or something like that? So it's just knowing the questions to ask up front and then really feeling that you're in sync with your attorney. You know, this is the person that you're really is holding your hand walking through this, and you want to be sure that you're a good fit up front.
I'm sure those questions help the consumer as well. I mean, if I was looking at those questions, I would be like, oh wow, I never thought about that, you know. And so
yeah, I tell people, you're not going in their office and asking 50 questions. You're going to take that and you're going to review it first and say, what are the questions that apply to my situation, things that I might not know to ask.
Right.
And that's very helpful.
Yeah. Any last thoughts from anybody?
Just to add to that, I think you have to really trust and feel comfortable when you're picking an attorney. I think that way you're able to go ahead and disclose a lot more than you would to someone else that you don't trust or you don't feel comfortable with. And I think the clients that feel comfortable enough to tell me things that may not even be relevant end up being relevant and end up being important to their case. So I think you definitely need to find somebody that you feel comfortable talking to.
I would add to that as well. I mean, attorneys have historically been trusted advisors. Too often nowadays, people view them as hired guns or mouthpieces. And you do need to listen to your attorney, take their experience and their knowledge to heart, and hire an attorney that's not going to tell you just what you want to hear, but get you from point A to point B in the best way possible.
Right. Well, wonderful. I guess that wraps it up for today. And we just want to, I want to thank Lisa for bringing these guests on today. And we look forward to the event, the Divorcetown Mixer.
Yes.
So we will talk about that again real quick to remind our listeners. It is May 6th, 6 p.m. Be there if you're in a profession that helps people with the matters of divorce. And 6 to 9 o'clock at 1455 Lincoln Parkway in Perimeter area. And you can get the tickets and look at the sponsorship opportunities at www.atlantalegalexperts.com.
Or divorcemoneymatters.com or divorcetownusa.com. And one more thing I did not get a chance to say before we leave.
Absolutely.
I also want to recommend the Justice Cafe. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to send folks to a place where they can get legal counsel at affordable rates. I can't tell you how many people have thanked me for sending them there and just having that resource in our community.
Thank you,
Michael.
Because I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I need an attorney, but I can't afford it.
Exactly. So. You know, and I know that they're in good hands there. So it's been a wonderful resource.
And thank you again.
Do they have a barista there? Is there a, can I get my cafe latte there? Do you have a drive-through window?
That's right.
A cafe or whatever. Yeah.
Order off the menu.
All comes full circle from the White House. From the Waffle House to the Justice Cafe. Right? Sorry, Emily, I just had to jump in. And also just report, Twitter's been just going crazy. Actually, we had amongst a lot of other tweets, but some folks in South Africa for Lawyer Up, we're retweeting the show as well as all kinds of other, and about 30 some odd photos on Facebook as well.
Fantastic.
Great. Glad I put my makeup on this.
Yeah, we forgot to tell you before the show. Normally radio, like hair and makeup, really?
Well, thanks everybody again for being here. And this has been another exciting episode of Atlanta Legal Experts. And we look forward to serving you again next week.